This evening we continue to study the Ninth Commandment, the sins forbidden in the Ninth Commandment, as we continue to use Larger Catechism 145 and the scripture as well. We're looking at Psalm 12, verses 2 and 3. So please turn to Psalm 12 with me. Verses 2 and 3 are what we'll look at closely. But as it's a shorter psalm, we just sang it, but I'd like to read the whole of it for you. Highlight verses 2 and 3. I'll explain a little of the context later. Verses 2 and 3 will be our focus. Psalm 12 and Larger Catechism 145. Psalm 12. To the chief musician upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from the generation forever. From this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted. That last line, the vilest men are exalted, that means flattered, lifted up in flattery and given places of position. That's when wicked walk everywhere. Seems to sound familiar. Verses 2 and 3, let me read those again for us. That's our focus scripture tonight. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. This is the word of God. Well, I'd like to turn with you now straight to the Larger Catechism and look at the clause that we'll have guiding us through this section, through thinking through this part of all that is forbidden in the Ninth Commandment. So we left off last week when it talked about partial censoring, misconstructing intentions, words, and actions. And so we now begin with the word flattering. And again, it's Larger Catechism 145. The question is, what are the sins forbidden in the Ninth Commandment? The Ninth Commandment, again, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Here's what we'll consider tonight, things that are forbidden in the Ninth Commandment. Flattering, vain, glorious boasting, thinking or speaking too highly or too meanly of ourselves or others. And yes, I believe that's it. I was about to say, I think there's another part that I've connected with it. Actually, there is. And just a little while later, the idea of fond admiration. I think actually I mistakenly left off in the message fond admiration, but I really think it's really very much related to this. So have that in view, and I probably won't comment on that as much when we get to it later. Fond admiration was meant to be included in this as well. That's enough about me. Let's talk about you. You've heard this before, right? That's enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? That's kind of funny, right? It's also kind of sad because it effectively happens constantly. And it could be the death of you, actually. That's what we'll learn tonight. It could be the death of you. Flattery. Thinking too much of yourself, speaking too much of yourself, absorbed with yourself, exalting yourself could lead to your death. God will silence vain men's self-speak. I believe that's a summary of Psalm 12, verses 2 and 3. God will silence vain men's self-speak. And as you'll say, it's such a violent silencing. I can't help but wonder if it might lead to death. You don't have any need to improve? Don't kid yourself. No need to change? No area that needs to become more holy? Don't flatter yourself. That's the problem with the church of all Scripture. That's the response constantly to the prophets. They don't have anything they need to change. They're fine, thank you very much. Don't flatter yourself. That's the message for you this evening. First of all, don't talk too much about yourselves. Don't talk too much about yourselves. So first, what is forbidden in the ninth commandment? Vainglorious boasting. Speaking too highly or too meanly of ourselves. I'm picking up a few things out of there. We'll look at everything that's said. You'll notice some ellipses, but we're first going to think about how we tend to speak about ourselves. Vainglorious boasting. Bragging. And notice vain, glorious boasting. We've been there earlier in the larger catechism series. There's some New Testament warnings about that. Those words used specifically. Vain, glorious boasting, we learned, is basically bragging about yourself when there's actually nothing to brag about. It's not just bragging. I mean, you shouldn't brag anyways. Paul says if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. Anything you do well is a gift of God. But in particular, the danger is we tend to brag about ourselves when there's actually nothing to brag about. I don't know, maybe it's because we want to try to convince ourselves it's true or convince others it's true and get the benefits of it. But very often, it's not even real what we're bragging about. Speaking too highly or too meanly of ourselves. Now, too meanly, we'll look at more in weeks to come. But that has the idea of, you know, oh, I'm no good, you know, and views the things like denying the grace and gifts that God gives us. We'll look at that more later, but that's actually a form of pride too, to get attention, right? It's kind of like a lot of times we actually think just fine of ourselves and we're speaking too meanly of ourselves to have people flatter us. But let's think more about how we speak about ourselves. Too highly. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. In the last days, and we're in the last days, right? In the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. I can't help but have come to mind when we were at the Affirmation Conference, I think I shared it with you a little while ago, they were making some disclaimers because they didn't want to confuse it with self-esteem seminars, which they would feel are unscriptural and ungodly, but they did believe there was a place for affirmation, and I forward you lectures on that. You can go and listen to them. They were really good. But he said, you know, we don't need more self-esteem. Prisons and asylums are full of people with too much self-esteem. He's absolutely right. I think the elders and I have even seen that in our visits in prison. We don't need more self-esteem. That's the problem. Too much self-esteem. And we hurt everyone else. Because everybody owes us something, right? Lovers of their own selves. Boasters. Proud. Another thing we tend to notice in prison. I'm innocent. They're all innocent. It's not true. You know. Yeah, okay. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. That's part of the verse. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Love is edifying. That is, it's really others seeking to build them up. But knowledge, just wanting to show what I know or just be so smart and make sure you know how smart I am, that just puffs up, right? Like a peacock. Look at my pretty feathers. And everybody starts to say, hey, when's the peacock going to leave? I'm getting tired of this. Knowledge puffeth up. You see, big heads swell with inflated egos. The more they think of themselves and want you to know how much you should think of them, like a big balloon, you know. And somebody eventually will pop it, and it will usually be God, but by the time it's ready to be popped, it's a big mess that's left. Let me encourage you, beloved, try not to speak this way. Be careful of how many times you use the word I and me in a sentence. Try not to use the words I and me too frequently when I and me is absolutely irrelevant to the point. Absolutely irrelevant to the story, unless it's actually about you anyways. But if it's not about you, then who cares? You know, just get to the point. We don't need to know the context of you, yourself, and you. Don't turn other people's issues into an opportunity to talk about you. Let other people's problems be their problems. Be there for them. You know, don't all of a sudden transition into how it relates to you. Be a support, not a chatterbox. There's a time when you're really going to have something about you. You're going to want other people's to be there for you to listen. Don't turn other people's issues into an opportunity to talk about you. Think before you speak. Think before you speak. But don't think too much about yourselves either. See, because that's what really leads to the flattering. Speak about yourself. You think too highly about yourself in the first place. That's what the Catechism points out. What's forbidden in the Ninth Commandment? Thinking too highly or too meanly of ourselves. And again, we're going to focus on thinking too highly of ourselves. Thinking too highly. You know, it's basically having an untrue perspective. You think about yourself more than is reality. You're convinced. You tend to lie to yourself enough you're convinced about it, right? But the reality is you just think too much about yourself. And so you'll hear one of my brothers in the church here recently shared, you know, one of these things, what's everybody talking about? God just wants me to be happy. Have you ever heard people say that? You ever try to talk to somebody and God just wants me to be happy? They say that to justify their lifestyle that clearly contradicts what God would have them do. And as our brother said, no, God wants you to be holy, and true happiness is in holiness. But apparently God just wants me to be happy. I can do whatever I want. No. But that's the kind of sentiment you hear when we exalt ourselves too highly. Or you might hear, well, God made this happen to me. God's sovereign, and so it's His fault this is happening to me. You hear that too. You hear it from Reformed people. That's thinking too highly of yourself. Whoa. Blasphemy. You know, you really want to say that to God's face? That's exalting yourself over God, thinking you have a right to complain against Him. But we think far too highly of ourselves. Luke 18, 9-14 is given to us. I'll summarize it for you. We've often thought about it. Jesus gives the parable of the two men praying. The Pharisee, the religious man, and the tax collector, the publican, the one everybody thinks is, you know, is a bum. Everybody's impressed with the Pharisee because they work really hard to make sure that you're very impressed with them. And he gives the parable because it says people, you know, the Pharisees, the religious people, were talking about how great they are, trying to justify themselves. And so he gave this parable to humble them. And the Pharisee, well, first the parable, the tax collector goes up to pray. No, pardon me, it's the other way around. The Pharisee goes up to pray and he says, I thank you, God, that I'm basically so great. You know, it's basically his prayer. You know, as I've joked before, it's kind of a nice pat on his back and saying, Lord, aren't you so glad to have me? I'm so very religious. And he's not righteous, but they have the air of, they go to church, you know, they know how to act, know how to show up to everything and do and say the right thing. Not really living a godly life, but it doesn't matter as long as people think I'm godly. I'm certainly better than most people, and that's what he's doing. I'm so glad. Thank you. I'm not like this tax collector over here, you know. And he starts to give a laundry list of all the good things he does, right? And then the other man prays, the tax collector prays, and he can't even look up. He beats his breast and he says, "Have mercy on me, God, a sinner." Which one did Jesus say is the man that goes away justified, made right before God, made right with God? The man who asked for mercy and admitted he was no good. The religious man who knows how to keep up religious appearances but not actually be spiritual in his heart, really committed to living a pure life for Christ, he goes away unjustified. even the things that he highlights to do are not necessarily wrong, but because he wants to brag about it, wants you to know how much he tithes, maybe, right? You know, there's no reward in that, we know from Christ as well. But that man does not go away justified. And then in verse 14, he says, you know, here's the moral of the story. He says, if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. But if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. That's why James says, humble yourself, and then God will lift you up. The wind beneath our wings is our humility. That's how God lifts us up. And so Jesus gives that parable to challenge us. And, you know, think about this. You know, the Pharisee is praying. We hear the words. He could be speaking out loud. Jesus even says elsewhere, don't be like Pharisees who want everyone to hear them praying in the marketplace. You know, so it could be the case, but maybe we're seeing a prayer closet here. Regardless, it's a prayer. He's thinking, right, within his heart. He's thinking too highly of himself. And who is his audience, remember? God Almighty. And he exalts himself before God in his thoughts and in his prayers. And Jesus is making it clear, don't do that. Let me ask you, beloved, are your prayers humble before God? Are you humble enough to spend much time in prayer at all? And if you do, are your prayers mainly complaining about others or humbling yourself before God? Are your thoughts obsessed with yourself? Humble yourself. Let God exalt you as you focus on Him and others. But don't focus on others too much. Catechism says, what is forbidden in the ninth commandment? Now we think about others, and I'll group it together. Thinking and speaking too highly of yourself. But now, what else is forbidden? Thinking or speaking too highly or too meanly of others. You can flatter yourself, and you can flatter others. Don't exalt others with emptiness simply to exalt yourselves. And that's why you actually do it. When you kind of, you know, well, there's a lot of colorful phrases for it. But when you flatter other people, you're really actually just looking to end up having yourself flattered. And so we think about that now. This catechism gives us the scriptures of Acts chapter 12, verses 21 to 23. I'll summarize that for you as well. King Herod is receiving praise from all the people as a god. They say he speaks as if he's a god. And he gladly received that praise. And similar to Nebuchadnezzar, although God was tougher on Herod, because he didn't say, whoa, 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 I'm not God. Because that's what you see with Christians, right? Peter, you see with the angels in Revelation, whoa, 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 I'm not God. Get up. Don't worship me. You know, you even see that with Paul, right, in Acts. There's times where they want to worship him because of a miracle. They say, no, don't get up. I'm not God. Herod, on the other hand, is like, yeah, let's have a little more of that, you know. Hey, I like that. Sure, call me a god. Obviously, remember in Revelation, the context with the Roman Empire at that time is everyone has to say Caesar is Lord. One of the first confessions of Christianity, and the reason they start to suffer is, I won't say that. Only Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So, you know, these big leaders, they often do want to be exalted as deities. We saw that with Pharaoh, right? So what happened to him? God killed him. I think it says the worms ate him. I guess for emphasis. It's interesting what details the scriptures give us sometime. God killed him because he wouldn't give the glory to God. And he received the glory as if he was God. Let me ask you, does Jude 16 describe you? These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. I mean, I think that describes most people. Does that describe you? It must not. Notice, though, this idea of speaking swelling words, you know, with your mouth and having admiration of men's persons to get advantage. It's so interesting that it's kind of seems to be the result of the fact that they are murmurers and complainers. walking over the, after their own lust. That would be interesting to go back and think about a little bit more. They murmur and they complain and they flatter people to get stuff. Very interesting. But if you have the notes, I've bolded the last part. Did you notice this? These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You see what it's telling us? They're admiring people, and that's why I said I meant to have it in here. Later the Catechism mentions fond admiration is forbidden. I think of ourselves and others. They are admiring people to get something out of those people. Remember that, folks, when people flatter you, don't trust them. They are just trying to use you like a pawn on their own chessboard. And they're just trying to get something out of you. When they do, you're gonzo. Okay? But are you doing that? Do you admire people? Do you flatter people? Do you network with certain groups of people and not others to get what you need? You know, you see those scenes on shows where a guy's like, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, and as soon as somebody else comes in the room that they actually want to get more out of, oh, you know, they leave while the person's talking. Hello, hi! They go talk to the person they were really there to get something from in the first place. That's the idea. Don't be like that. But you need to recognize if you're flattering people, you're actually doing it to get yourself flattered, to get an advantage over others. It's often called politicking, right? Really, another way of talking about it is being a respecter of persons. And James says a lot about that. A lot of other scriptures do. Don't be a respecter of persons. Don't let alliances overplay integrity, truth. And most of the time when you're going to not flatter, you're going to be a person of truth, It'll be helping the person who cannot help you back. You got to trust that God will reward you. See, when you lie and you flatter, it's always because of the person has something to give you that you want. And the only reward, usually, I think, for not flattering is simply because you want God to be pleased with you. And you're just content to know you did right. Telling people what they want to hear when it isn't true is always ultimately self-serving. It's ultimately all about you anyways. Don't exalt yourself. Don't exalt yourself. And so we look again at the first word we had in the Catechism, flattering. What is forbidden in the ninth commandment? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Flattering. And I really think all of these could have been categorized under the word flattering. But we'll focus on it a little bit. What is it to flatter? Especially as you think of yourself or others, it is inflating. It is exaggerating. You know, again, thinking or speaking more of yourself or others than is actually true. But I would submit this to you as well. I believe also minimizing and making excuses, making bell grade curves, distractions when somebody's confronted about something. Next thing you know, they're talking about somebody else and, you know, they're not as bad as them. I think that often we flatter ourselves by telling ourselves it's not that bad. Or saying, but you don't understand. Here's the circumstances. Oh, I understand perfectly. And I'm not impressed. But that's flattering ourselves too. Minimizing it. Somehow everyone else is wrong and bad, but when we do it, it's not so bad. I think that's maybe our worst problem. But also just this inflating, exaggerating idea of ourselves. God just wants me to be happy. I can't feel guilty. That's a big one you hear out there. I can't feel guilty. That is, I don't want to deal with the penalty for my sinful act or choice. I'd rather someone else feel bad about it. And so we try to remove ourselves from responsibility. We try to speak about ourselves as if we're above it all. That, you know, what God says is true, but it's true for all you, not for me. I get the exception clause. I get exempted from this because I'm special. That's this idea of flattery. Psalm 12, verses 2 and 3. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. First, let's consider the context. Because those verses right there, David is lamenting what he's observing in the world. It's as if this is the only people that exist out there. People who flatter to climb the ladder. And I don't like the result it's having in the world, in my kingdom. And he's crying out about it, and he's describing this. But let's see the context of our verses in verses 1 and 8. Verse 1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." It's almost like back in the times before flood. It's like there's almost no one who speaks truth. There's almost no one out there who's not playing this game. I go to church and they're all stroking each other. They're all telling each other there's nothing wrong with them. They're all telling each other we've been here forever and we'll be here forever and we're fine. Thank you very much. So he's saying, nobody wants to deal with reality. Then we look at verse 8. What's the result? "The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." The vilest men are exalted. Now, some people just want to be elders for places of position. And they do want... You think it's an accident that Peter says in 1 Peter 5, don't lord it over your people? That's exactly what some elders want to do. That's exactly why some people seek offices in the church. It's not service. It's not shepherding. It's lording. And when vile men get into those kinds of positions, or in politics, it's because everybody's flattering one another. Everybody's looking to get something. No one is really willing to take any hits for being true and righteous. And the next thing you know, what does it say in verse 8? "The wicked are walking everywhere, on my left and on my right." Everybody's just so vile. And no one will listen to me, that they are. That's why they called the Puritans Puritans. That's what the Puritans were doing. The church needs to change and reform and get more godly and more scriptural and more pure and more holy. And it falls on deaf ears because they're full of the world. We were walking through the hospital. I saw a picture. I thought, ain't that the truth? Ain't that the way of the world in the church so often? You know, three monkeys, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. It's all evil all around us, but we don't want to deal with it. It would be a major change. And so we'll flatter ourselves and flatter one another to convince ourselves nothing's wrong, nothing needs to change. Kill the messenger, throw him down in a pit. That's the context of our verses. That's what David is seeing. Remember in Psalm 101, he says, "I won't tolerate people like that in my kingdom." That's what he's witnessing, at least in that context of that psalm. Verse 2, I'm going to give you kind of a wooden translation here. "Speakers of emptiness use smooth or slippery lips from a double heart." It's kind of the general idea there. I'm giving a few words a little more literally. Speakers of emptiness, because vanity, remember vain? They are vain speakers. The word vain means empty. There's nothing there. Remember the vainglorious boaster. There's actually nothing there. They're empty inside. There's no truth to what they're saying. It's all a facade. It's all keeping up appearances. Which is why they feel so threatened when you begin to say, wait a minute, and it's hollow, and you nod, wait a minute, wait. And that's vanity. Speaking vanity. And how do they do it? They speak this emptiness, that is, they speak this unreality to one another. There's nothing wrong with you. We've always done it this way. I don't know where that Yankee thinks he's coming from, but we're fine. The more mature people understand rather this or that, I've read some places. The word for flattery for the lips is, you could really translate it more literally, smooth or slippery. Maybe you should say slick. You could say perhaps polished. Sophisticated. But totally false. How is vanity, emptiness, spoken through smooth, slippery lips, flattering lips, smooth, slippery lips, tell you what you want to hear? So I appreciate our brother often says, I don't want to hear what I want to hear. He quotes the scripture in the New Testament. The last days, another thing that will happen, they will go to people that will give them what their itching ears want to hear them say to them about themselves. A whole bunch of churches full of people like that. And full of pastors like that, because they love to have you flatter them back and give them lots of money for it. But not the servant of the Lord and not children of God. Notice also that these smooth, slippery, flattering lips come from what in the first place? A double heart. A double heart. I can't help but think of, we talk about people as being two-faced. Maybe we could think of what James says about, you know, an unstable man in all his ways, back and forth, like, you know, with waves on the ocean being tossed to and fro. Because it's really all about getting what I want for me, and I'll adjust at any moment to get it. So I'll tell you this, if that's what you want to hear. Oh, now this is what you want to hear. Or you now, instead, are more influential, so I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. And now I'm going to talk about those people bad, even though I was telling them how great they were earlier. And none of it's true anyways. Double-hearted. Two-faced. Liars. Open them up. Nothing in there. Verse 3. I'm going to give you kind of a wooden translation as well. The Lord will cut out their lying lips and tongue in the end. Actually, that's more of a, I'm telling you that it's not a translation, actually. It's just the gist of it. What does God say He will do to those slippery, smooth lips, those flattering lips, politicking all the time, telling one another how great we are, we're fine, as the place becomes more and more polluted with them? God says, I'll cut their lips off. And I'll cut their tongue out. Let that image be enough of an illustration for you. It's horrible. If you are a person that flatters yourself and others, and you're simply working to get stuff for yourself at the expense of others and happy to do it, and you're happy to take out the man and woman of integrity to do it, and speak lies about them as well, flatter the wicked, in the end, you will find your lips have been cut off and your tongue's been cut out. Let that image hang there for a moment. Could you speak anymore after that? Could you utter anything intelligible after that, other than maybe moaning as blood drips down your face? I think it's safe to say, and then you die. Do you think God wants you to take this seriously? That's a graphic image that He wants you to actually sing about in the Psalms. As I said this morning, our Psalm of the week for the devotion, Psalm 95, right? Second part of it is such a warning not to have a hard heart, not to not listen, not to not do what God says. Well, why do they do that? Because they flatter themselves. Won't listen to the minister. And they die in the wilderness, was the warning. I remind you, how did Adam and Eve fall? Jesus calls Satan, John 8, I believe it is, a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. But in particular, how did they fall for it? What made it easier to get him to buy the lie? You know, it's interesting to say that, buy the lie, but think about this. Don't we pay for all kinds of stupid stuff that puts us in debt and ruins our life because the advertisers flatter us? Now, I worked in advertising. There's nothing wrong with true advertising, but so much of it. It's flattering. It gets you to ruin your life. Satan flattered them. Oh, God, no. God, that's not true. You'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. I think it's safe to say, or at least suspect, that the reason they fell for it so easy? Oh, I'll be God. I'll be just like God. How smart I will be. How much I will know. I would imagine, I don't know how it'll work, but all of a sudden it'll feel like God, and I'll have people come and worship me. Adore me. Out of the garden, dead. Like that. Gone. It really needs to be a warning. Flattery. So extremely dangerous. We need to keep the end in view. We need to keep the end of where two groups of people end up. And the psalm does that as well. We want to look at verse 4 in contrast with verse 3. Verse 4. Who have said with our tongue, will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Wow. It's my tongue, thank you very much. It's my lips. I own myself. I have the right to myself. God just wants me to be happy. I'm Lord over my own life. Oh, let's go back one verse. Verse 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. You go ahead and flatter yourself if you must, but you're lying to yourself. You're kidding yourself, and you're eventually going to not be able to speak. At least in hell, you won't be able to flatter yourself there. Let's contrast verse 2 with verse 6. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Let's contrast that with verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Wow, that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. Refiner's fire, right? I mean, things that keep going through the fire, keep getting refined, become extremely beautiful because all the imperfections are melted out before they take that shape again after they cool off. Psalmist says that's actually the words of the Lord are actually that. You know, again, Titus says, to the pure, all things are pure. And we saw, I believe it was in Psalm 19, our section, I think it was the Sadi section today in Psalm 119, one of the verses we highlighted in the worship in the morning was the purity of God's words, purity of His commandments. To the pure, all things are pure. Didn't we just study a week ago in our Westminster Confession of Faith in the teaching time about God and the Trinity? What was the section we just looked at last week? He is a most pure spirit. He doesn't want anything to do with this nasty flattery stuff. Because it goes right back to Satan. So why do I highlight that contrast? Because verse 2, they're speaking vanity, they're flattering their words, they have a double heart. But everything they say is empty. Again, that word vanity is empty. It's all nothingness. It all will prove to be an end in nothingness. In contrast, in verse 6, what God says is true. It is so pure. It is so beautiful. It is so much more worth putting in you and speaking. And then letting it help you not speak when you consider what it says in the certain situations. What a difference. What a unbelievable difference. Whose words are you going to give your ears to, you see? Whose words are you going to give your heart to? Whose words will you find yourself reflecting out of your mouth? words that are empty and lies like the snake, smooth, oh, smooth. Oh, the world is really smooth. They got it over us with smoothness, don't they? I mean, they're smooth. They're really good. Are you going to give your ear and heart and your lips to reflect the words of vanity that will end up having your lips and your tongue cut out as you go to be with the father of lies who started it all in the first place? The great father of lies, the great flatterer. Or will your ear and your heart receive, and will your mouth rather instead reflect, and will your life reflect the purity of God's word? Purified seven times over. What a glorious, glorious thought. What a better place to be. And again, you've got to keep the end in view. You know the end now of the flatterers. Why is that important? Because they're really good at lying to you. They're really good at making you believe they are the place to hang out. They're really good at making you think there's no danger there. But you know their end, and thus your end, if you go with them. In contrast, here's where you want to be. Verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. So you got to make a choice, folks. Who are you? Are you Christ's, or are you the devil's? In this world, if Satan is your master, you will have a very nice life. Oh, you'll have all kinds of payments in this life for it behind the scenes, but on the surface, very smooth. If Jesus is your master, he says you're going to have a hard life in this world. But in the end, the meek, the weak, the poor are the ones that Christ identifies with. That's why he came in his own humiliation to save you from your sins. The slick talkers, the flatterers, never associate with Jesus. He's an embarrassment. You ever been around certain people that are your friends in certain kind of Christian environments? Then you're out in a more broader place and all of a sudden they hardly know you. Jesus is an embarrassment to the world, to flatterers. So who are you going to identify with? You need to identify with the ones who will be standing in the end. And that will be with the resurrected, exalted Jesus Christ, who is faithful and true and will be proven so. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. But that puffeth at him, they puff at you. You're such a Puritan. You're so legalistic. You know, why can't you just relax and get along? Why do you be so strict and dot all the dots? Why do you got to worry about all that? You know, you're such a drag, you know. That's what it is if you're going to be serious for the Lord. But in the end, God will lift you up. And he will crush those who are puffed up and puff at you. Flattery will not get you everywhere. Flattery is a slippery path that will have you sliding all the way down until you end in the devil's lair. And that's the truth. Don't flatter yourselves. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we confess to you we are so tempted to think too highly of ourselves, to speak too highly of ourselves, to want other people's attention for doing what you tell us to do in secret. We flatter other people because we want them to give us things. We avoid the godly and the poor and meek because we don't want to be embarrassed by their company in public. We avoid time with your people. And we give our time to things that on the surface look so very smooth. But what we've learned is they're so very slippery. Oh Lord, humble us. Make us willing people in this day to identify with Jesus Christ, who is poor and afflicted. born on the wrong side of the tracks, humiliated on the cross after a humiliating, unjust trial. When they wanted to make you king in the wrong way, because they only wanted worldly wealth and influence, you would not be king. You would not be lifted up on the throne of an earth. Instead, you knew you had to be lifted up on the cross. And so now you are lifted up and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Help us to remember to see you as you are and where you are and our lives hid with you there, that in the end we aren't moaning in agony with nothing that we could possibly say as we bleed to death for eternity in hell. Help us to see the flatterers for who they really are. And help us to see the flattery that we tend to do as what it really is. And help us to bite our tongue before you rip it out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.